Joe, we had a swing off.
We had a swing off, man. Hot damn right. That's way to start a show here on a Wednesday morning. A friggin' swing off. How about that? 6-6 game. And apparently they had talked about this and, you know, run out of pitchers and everybody's careful and making sure everybody's healthy getting back for the second half of the season and not going crazy. I thought baseball, you know, we rip all these all-star games. Every one of them gets ripped for something. I thought baseball tried to juice it up. They mic'd up starting catcher and pitcher last night. There was they weren't exactly into it as they're trying to, you know, strike guys out and get the right pitch and all that stuff. But then you had a father and a shortstop for the A's, and they did some different things. I thought it was cool, man. I had no problem. They mic'd up a few guys that were playing at the time and going through it. And then the swing off was great. You know, the way the thing ends, Kyle Schwarber, who is just, my God, three swings and just no doubters, man. All three of them just friggin' ripped. And you could feel pressure. Listen, they still had, you know, a chance in American League to hit some home runs. And I just thought it was great. It's a great way to finish it. That's it. Long enough. Good stuff. Thanks for the entertainment. Those guys were into it. The guys that stayed around and didn't catch planes early were around to kind of celebrate. We got a chance to see some of the young guys. Kyle Stowers actually had a swing-off home run. He was one of the three guys selected. He hit one. One of his three swings was a home run. So a lot of good stuff as we get set now for baseball starting back up here. Marlon's going to be back home, actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Actually, home Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as well. So they'll be home against the Royals and the Padres if we'll play off that. And kind of got a chance to see some of the young guys. And I don't know. Listen, after what hockey did, Woody, with their game was getting a little stale too. And, you know, they were scoring a lot of goals. They come up with this nation's face-off and just blew everybody out of the water, right? They got the Tkachuks and Canada guys, and hell, the guys from our team, Bennett and those guys fighting each other and going at it. I just thought it was awesome. Like, you're watching that and had no feel of an all-star game. It got countries involved, and it was great. But I thought baseball did good. I got nothing to complain about today. You know, no strike zone. They actually, you could, if you didn't like a call last night, you had a chance to and it worked. They had that strike zone. I know they're getting ready to, and this strike zone thing, because I can see my father's into it back here too, and I'm like, Dad, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Wood. This kind of goes to football, and if it's a foul, call it. And the NBA, if it's a foul, call it. Don't not call it at the end of a game. And the strike zone just gets ripped nonstop for people to watch baseball. You know, why aren't we using the square? That thing was 6 inches outside the square, and the guy called it a strike. And I'm like, I don't know. I think these guys overall are pretty good. Been a few guys here since I've watched so much baseball here over the last couple weeks. I missed some calls, you know, but I don't know, Woody. I don't know how you feel about just...
Well, they have the technology to fix it.
They do. So. They do have it. There's no question they do.
I mean, I think that's truly part of the game, right? To have an umpire behind the plate and let him call balls and strikes.
I do too.
But, you know, I don't know. I always thought, like, you look at a sport like, you know, college football, and that was always, remember they never used to do the reviews in college football, and it was just like whatever they called, and you play through and you just keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be some level of human error, right? The players make mistakes.
You're never going to get things perfect. And I hear, well, let technology, if technology can do better, we need to use it.
But it's also slowed down some of these sports
too much. Don't
slow
down the game. Yeah, like it really, that's the thing.
So the NBA, I think, has abused it, right? The NBA, how many times during a game do you see a hard foul and then they got to take 20 minutes to see if it's a flagrant or if it's not?
One or
like,
two or nine.
And it's
or,
just like, it's right. just such a waste of time.
Well, listen, and
the main takeaway
night,
from this, Joe, is that we need the swing off during the regular season and playoffs. That would be the main takeaway from this whole All-Star game.
I thought it was cool as hell
way.
Last night.
Yeah, why aren't we doing this in the regular season?
The swing off, you want to talk about pressure. How about that at the end of the game? Your whole team's out there going, okay, who are you picking tonight, Skip, for your three guys to – for our nine swings that we get here, three each. Who are the three guys you're picking? You know, who's it going to be?
So they can't get the Stars, though, to sit through the whole game? Like these guys are actually leaving during the game?
Those guys had to get back, got appearances, maybe work to do.
They just couldn't make
family.
It. Couldn't make it through the whole game.
I don't know. I'm not bothered by
so
that.
Weird.
I know. That's the first thing you mentioned to me.
Yeah, well, could you imagine if someone in another sport did it? Imagine if, like, the NBA starters were like, oh, well, we played some. We're going to leave.
Yeah, but once you're in a baseball game,
I know you
for,
can't come back. I know.
You can't come back except
on,
in this
really
you
weird,
can.
Man.
In this you this, could come back.
Yeah, we could have had a good swing off runs. With, you know, Tani and Judge.
Apparently
and,
they asked guys before the game, and those guys, I'm guessing, either said no or they weren't even asked. I can't imagine what the guys and Schwarber's like, hell, I will. I mean, that guy, I love that guy, first of all. I think he's unbelievable. He's a 30-plus home run guy again this year already and loves it. And what he did last night, can you imagine that guy's going back to Philly now and they're just – the cheers get a little bit louder for him when he's on the field. Anyway, hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning besides all these All-Star games and – yeah, you thought overall it was good, though, last night, right? What they did.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get everybody in the game.
It's one of the better ones, Joe. Yeah. Probably the second best outside of what hockey's doing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right?
Yes.
The NBA one is unwatchable. The NFL, I don't even know what they're doing
flag
anymore.
Football.
I didn't watch it this year.
Yeah, and you got guys playing all different positions. No, I got better things to do than great.
That was one
I
missed
our guys.
This year, yeah.
I'm glad they're all getting paid because they have bonuses to be pro bowlers and all that stuff. So when you get a guy, you know, good for you. Go to Orlando. Enjoy yourself. You get some extra money. Great trip for you and your family. And the kids get Disney World to themselves for a night and all that. It's great, but it's not made for TV. None of that stuff. Unless you just love your favorite player and you're going to watch. It's that's hard to watch. And all the events they're doing, what? All the other things they do with it and pull the rope and ball tag and all those things. Hey, so anyway, we've got a bunch of other stuff going on today. Actually, Dolphins rookies will be on the field for the first time and get going. And by the way, for all those rookies going in this morning, for the first time in a long time, I heard it out of a coach's mouth months ago. We probably should have done this before, but we're going to start playing young guys, and it's not going to be a teaser where you have a good camp or you play real well in camp and you get to wear that special jersey one day because you were player of the week or player of the day before in practice, that we're going to actually play some of you guys. And some of you are going to have some real, real chances and not bringing in a bunch of old vets to fill in with their experience and their knowledge and help us change our culture. Let's go with our own friggin' guys, man. I love it. And if that's what you decide, obviously they still got to perform. But, man, you got to get out there to have a chance to perform. So it's a great opportunity for Grant Savanaya once he signs, of course. Jordan Phillips, Jason Marshall, and especially those top four guys. And we'll see if any of those other guys can get some playing time with these guys. But all starts today, man, getting out there and getting your feet wet and getting caught up for everything once the vets come in next week and get rolling with everything. By the way, yesterday was a lot of Manning stuff. Actually got a little overdosed on Arch Manning, who I feel bad for him. He's not doing this. They're doing it to him. And he was a top recruit coming out. He's a five-star guy. And you know who his two uncles are, and you know who his grandfather. You know, I mean, it is quarterback family. Well, you know, the greatest quarterback family in the history of the National Football League. No question about it. And you're the fourth guy coming into this thing, two starts, and we've got him going first overall in the draft. We got him making throws and saying things, and I think we're all kind of curious to see. Texas obviously has got a lot of talent, lost a lot of guys, but have a lot of talent and going to have a good team. I think it's fair to say we expect him to win, you know, a lot of games again this year and be in it. But the guy started two frigging games, two games. Hewer's played the rest of the games. And so I am really curious. But by the way, the kid handles everything. He's great. You could tell he's, you know, he's got media savvy to him. He's no question about it. He gets the business, and he's been around it and been coached up and been around his, you know, family that does nothing but talk about coverages and how to act and the media circus and everything else. But my God, what? And then yesterday, I'm watching some of this stuff from Paul Feinbaum, who's kind of a, you know, big college guy and especially SEC guy. And he decides he's going that Nick Saban thing about gonna be a Dolphin, should be a Dolphins head coach and won't go to LSU. So if Nick, who's in South Florida, I'm sure part of Nick still would like to coach. There's no question about it. That guy's a coach. He's making a lot of money doing commercials, and he's made that Saturday show on college football a lot better. The guy's been fantastic. So these are all compliments I'm giving Nick Saban before I blast him for his NFL career. Nick's great. One of the greatest college coaches of all time. Unbelievable to be able to take that personality. He's doing a lot of commercials. He's good in them. He plays his role perfectly. With what his image is, he does. It's funny. And he's unbelievable in exactly what that shows on Saturdays with the Herbie and those guys. It's great. I think he's really good on that show with McAfee and all of them. I think that show, it got even better. I love that show on Saturday morning. Make sure if I'm up Saturday and not hitting the road, I'm watching. That thing is on in the house with the coffee, and I'm rolling. And then Feinbaum has to bring up that he should be the Dolphins head coach again. I'm like, Paul, you're trying to stir it up, or do you really believe, like, he wants to come down? I can give you a zillion reasons why he didn't want to be here. First of all, he likes five-star recruiting classes, unlimited. I call it unlimited amount of first-round picks when he recruits. Why would he want to do an NFL system of seven rounds? And you can't control where you pick in the first round or second round. And free agents that come in, veteran free agents that are set in their way, that he tries to talk to like they're 18 or 19, and they say, kiss my ass, Nick, which happened to him when he was here. Zach Thomas, who's not Nick's biggest fan. So, I mean, we can go through, like, and look, he lied, he quit. And it's nothing against him. I mean, he made all the right decisions because he went to Alabama and he chewed it up. I mean, he won a zillion championships and games and spitting out guys, you know, all over the NFL at a record pace. But does Nick really want to try the NFL thing again? Even not Dolphins. Definitely not the Dolphins. But does Nick really want to go back to the NFL? I don't think so. I think he and the wife got enough of it. Look, you want to live in Jupiter? God bless you, man, up there with all the golfers and your guys and enjoy yourself. I get it, man. I do. And you earned it. Nick's made probably $150, $200 million in his career, plus all his investments and car dealerships and everything he's doing. He's still making a ton of money. He's still in the game because he can talk about everybody and every game, and he's got a great take on everything. He does. He's been on every side of it. He's been on the planes on Saturday night recruiting for a game on Sunday, you know, to come back. He's seen it all. But leave the NFL thing out. You're a great college football coach, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. But that NFL thing wasn't for you. And we can blame the Dolphins. It doesn't matter. It's just, it's not good for Nick. It's not. Hey, this NFL thing's not for long for everybody. It really is. NFL, not for long. And so that's all I'd say. I saw it and I was like, why would Feinbaum say that? Like, of all the things Feinbaum can say, and he knows Nick, and I don't know. What'd you think of that comment, Woody?
Well, I think it also works both ways too, right? Like, these guys that have been lifelong NFL coaches, I don't know that they could just jump in and be college coaches. And we'll see.
Well, we're going to find out.
With Belichick, right?
Like, yes, great.
It's dramatically different, man. It really is, right? When you go from those two games. I mean, one, you're coaching the guys that are there, right? Most of the coaches aren't picking the players. Maybe they have a little say in the matter, right? But it's just such a different game. And then dealing with 18-year-olds and dealing with pros, it's just dramatically different.
I'm watching Mario's life year-round and following Mario through his guys. Mario Cristobal truly has no life. He went to a wedding. And by the way, Darren Rizzi, Broncos special team coordinator and assistant head coach for the Broncos, is going to join us later in the show. I was at a party. And they go, oh, yeah. I said, hey, Mario come. He goes, yeah, but he's out recruiting all night. I think he's getting in at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, but he's going to be here tomorrow. And I was like, it never stops. It never stops. Season's getting ready to start. And he's recruiting classes not only next year, but guys that are going to be juniors. And I was like, oh, my God. And he's got commitments, and he's on the final list of this one and that one. And he's got his guys, his head of recruiting, and, you know, the general manager now. They call them all GMs, I think. They've all got GM names. But my Woody, man, it's like they have no life. Now, the other hand is – in the NFL, Mike McDaniel, after minicamp, gives his guys 4 or 5 weeks off. Hey, guys, take some time off. Long-ass season. We got our work in. Take some time. Get away. I'm not sure the college guys get that with Mario Cristobal.
Well, I think you're simplifying it a little bit too much, though, with the NFL stuff, right? Because it's different. Like, in college football, the team with the most talent usually wins, right? And you can control that. In the pros, you know, in the NFL, those teams are very balanced for the most part, right?
Well, like,
yes, there are good
done,
teams, there's bad teams, but any team can beat any team, right? In the NFL.
I tried to tell you that yesterday. You told me that wasn't the case on the Dolphins schedule, so I'm not sure where you're coming from.
Well,
how you change your tune on that.
But you know that. I mean, any team can win, and yeah, but I think that a guy like Mike McDaniel is going to spend his entire summer trying to figure out, hey, you know, how can we make some of these things work that didn't work last season. I'm guessing he had a rough, you know, off season too, man.
Yeah, but
probably a lot of nights in the office, I'm guessing.
Woody, if you were to ask every coach that's done it all, there are guys who are going to say, that's call, especially now with this NIL thing in high school, that's not for everybody, man.
No.
That thing.
Well, look how many coaches we've lost in the last few years due to all this stuff, right?
Yeah, but even
especially on
even
the basketball
young guys,
side.
I mean, you gotta have makeup of these guys, this energy level of these guys and guys that work with them. You know, you're giving up life, man.
Also in the college game,
you try to have that balanced life. If you're looking for a balanced life with your wife and your children, don't be a coach.
But what are we giving guys in the college game now? 2 years to turn a thing around. If they don't, they're gone. And you got boosters, you know, all lining up to.
Yeah, that's
fired.
Pretty much that's across the board though. That's the NFL too, man. Everybody.
Well, not
right
here
now,
apparently, but
no, but most places. Yeah, most places. Come on. I mean, you got a couple years and if not, you know, and it gets loud and things aren't going well, you're gone.
I mean, look at Miami. Look how many coaches they've been through.
Yeah. By the way, there are people who say, hey, Mario needs to, you know, get this thing rolling too. And win an ACC.
Mario has made improvements every single year, though. That's the difference, at least, though, right?
Hey, man, just
like,
getting back
going
to this
in the right
original
direction.
Thing before you flip
on
me, jerky. I just, like, this thing is with Mario, I didn't even realize. And then, you know, I see him the next day at the wedding, and I'm like, hey, oh, man, we're just rolling. And his guys are there, and they're wiped out. I'm like, he goes, are you kidding me? Hold on. We got in at 2 in the morning. Like, oh, my God, man, it's crazy. All right. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff to get to, man. We went super late this morning on that one. We do have a lot of stuff to get to here. A lot of guys getting paid and a lot of guys want to get paid in the National Football League right now. That's for sure. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. But, yeah, last night, man, good for baseball. A tie game didn't end in a tie because we know there had been a lot of bitching about that. We hate ties. We hate ties. We did a little home run swing off last night at the end. Hot damn right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. I got a lot of stuff to get caught up on here this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Dolphins rookies are in training camp, getting acclimated to the NFL.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Actually, going to be a really good time. A lot of good stuff going on as we get ready to start up on all the football right around the corner, including SEC meetings going right now, and then the ACC and Big Ten next week will take over. And, you know, it's funny. I was thinking last night of, besides this Arch Manning story is huge, not only was he a five-star player coming out, and I think the top recruit in his class, going to Texas, but now it's his job, and not that this isn't going on other places too, it is, but he's Arch Manning. Peyton and Eli's nephew and his grandfather was a hell of a player on some really bad Saints teams as well. So is the whole family. And it's going to be really interesting because I don't know if anybody in college football got more pressure on him than Arch Manning. I don't care what your name is. He's just like, hey, man, they're talking about you being the first overall pick. And he goes, I know. I've only started two games. Man, they must have seen a lot. Plus, I was playing with all those first-round picks on the outside. So, yeah, that's and then the second story might be Bill Belichick coaching in North Carolina with a 24-year-old girlfriend. So, we'll see. I'm dying to see, Woody, when you're up there, the whole Bill Belichick thing. I just think is because, you know, everybody's asking for him. Everybody wants, you know, and this is all also an opportunity to do a little recruiting with everybody there from all the different markets. Our market is nothing against everybody else in ACC, but our market is South Florida market for high school football is right up there as one of the best, and all those teams in the ACC have players from South Florida on the team, so they like to come on with us. It's not us, it's the market. So I'm not bragging, just stating a fact of they recruit, they like certain schools, they've done well with down in South Florida, and I'm just curious to see how Bill Belichick's front man is going to handle everything. And you know the first question is he doesn't want any questions about his girlfriend, and if there is, he won't come on. That's going to be number one. Is this going to stay football, or is this going to bounce away?
There's no way they walk him around all those radio stations, though, right?
No.
We were talking about this when you
I'm
were
telling
gone.
You right
I don't,
now.
I don't see any way they walk him around and have him go on with everyone.
He will handpick guys he trusts, and he'll say, if you burn me on this, you'll never get anybody on my program ever again.
And he must know that you're not very trustworthy.
I don't know. I had a little issue with Florida for years, but that went back.
You got
that's
you
my
okay
favorite
with
stories.
Now?
No, the Urban and Doc Holliday were working together. Doc Holliday, one of the greatest recruiters of all time, was lived down here. I mean, he made a lot of money for recruiting down here, and they nicknamed him. The other coaches in South Florida nicknamed him Dirty Doc Holliday. And so that's what the Canes coaches go, yeah, Dirty Doc's down here. We saw him last night. He tried to chew up our recruiting time. We said, hey, ass clown, you can't do that, bro. You know the deal. We're all waiting to get in to see this kid, and you chewed up. So he had a way of doing things. So they nicknamed him Dirty Doc, so I said, hey, I was on the radio one day, and I said, I hear Dirty Doc and Herber working together today, getting out and so within 5 minutes, I get a call from the head of communications of Florida. He's been there forever. I forget his name. I think he's still there. Steve something. I don't know. They're Florida people. He calls me and he goes, I just want to let you know, you will never get anything from this university. You need to stop. And I told him, you kiss my ass. I don't work for you. I have a right to do whatever I want. And I don't really care. Like, well, Urban Meyer will never come on with you again. Okay. And then later on, he did come on with me. So, but that was my that was my driving around special of you know, when I get a heads up from high school coaches, hey, Nick's in town or Urban's in town, and you have a little fun with them. And then I found out that the Dirty Doc thing, he was really bothered by that. I didn't make the name. I said, hey, Doc, I didn't make that name up for you. Are you kidding? I didn't make that name up. Coaches make that name up about you. So that was it. You know, it was no big deal, but that was one of my stories. And when you're down here, but yeah, that ACC thing is going to be interesting with how they handle Bill Belichick. I can't believe he's doing this. He's been so guarded and so right to just sticking with football and give you real quick answers and play the game right and do your job. And I don't want any distractions. And, you know, guy fumbles and he doesn't play for 2 weeks. And just keeping everything tight inside, right, as we have found out through the years. And then, like, he decides to go back to coaching, didn't get a job, thought he was going to get the Atlanta job, and gets a second interview, and I don't know why they jerked him around like that, but he got a second interview, didn't get the job. He thought he had it. Then the girl pops up more and more, and he takes that North Carolina job. I think we're all surprised. I think most people go, there's no way he's going to go there. He's not ready, especially with the way the transfer portal, one-year free agents, and the NIL, and guys asking Bill Belichick, I need more money. Are you kidding me? He took the job. So now we're kind of all wondering, this is going to be interesting, and the first thing I thought of is what you're going to be at Monday, Woody, those ACC meetings in North Carolina. I was like, oh, my God, Bill Belichick's got to show up. I got to tell you, it'd be awesome if she's on the trip. It would be awesome if she's there but in the background. Now, sometimes they come in and stay overnight, and then they go back, right? They do, but he's so close where they're located. I believe it's a one-day deal for them. They're not. Stan Bill's going to want to get in there and get out as quickly as possible.
To be honest, if she's there, I think she'd be a better interview than him.
Yeah, but people...
Why don't you ask her what she's in this for?
That's great. People want to know...
How long do you think he has left? That would be a good question for her.
What, coaching?
No, living.
Oh,
so she can get to her end game and get the money, Joe. Come on.
You're vicious, bro.
You don't think that's what she's in this for?
I think she's madly in love. She loves older men. Yeah.
She loves older men.
I was going to try to do that without laughing.
Yeah, I think she's playing a waiting game.
Well, there are women that do love younger women, love older guys. That's a fact. I don't know about girls in their early 20s that like 70-year-olds and lesser's more than.
Now, these are usually poor men, right? I mean, they're not really wealthy like Belichick. In your scenario, you said women like older men.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Financial status doesn't matter in that?
I'm guessing South Florida may be a little different. Can't speak for everywhere, but.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know if a 24-year-old girl that looks really good wants to be with a 74-year-old that's broke. Right? A little low.
What do they get? No, Social Security. Yeah.
A little low. I'm down to about $500 left. You mind if we stay in and eat a couple of times this week?
There's perks, though, right? Don't you get discounted movie tickets? You get free Marlins tickets.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah.
You take her to a Marlins game with the senior discount.
I got to tell you, when I heard Belichick was worth $200 million, I went, wow.
That sounds about right, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. When you sit back, hey, what do you think Saban's made? We're just talking about Saban. Saban's got to be in the same boat. Plus, he invested in car dealerships. I don't know too many people own Mercedes car dealerships that are screaming about things are bad right now. Business just not good. So, I'm predicting she will not go. And that poor guy in the front is going to be sweating the whole time with every radio guy, because they're somebody from every radio in the area of college football for every ACC team is going to have a station there. And I am dying I'll give you one even better. I'll bet you the Orange Bowl's going to tell you, hey, Belichick will come on, but I promised them. See, now they'll do that. They'll go to the Orange Bowl and go, I promised them you would not ask about the girl.
And I will relay that information to you, and you know, you can do what you want.
But you know that's going to happen.
But I think, look, you're only going to get him once. He's not going to be there after this year anyway.
You don't know that.
Come on. I think you should go for it. I think you should ask him whatever you want.
Well, you're the one that's got to look at him.
I don't care.
He's only going to hear me over the voice. He's only going to hear me. I'm from back in Miami, but
yeah,
you're the one that's going to be there, and you hate those awkward moments.
I do. I get very uncomfortable in those moments.
Oh, yeah, and that guy's going to just sit there and go, you just screwed me. Yeah. You just friggin' screwed me. And you knew that. You ambushed me. I think, didn't Channing, the pivot, they had to do a, I think they apologized to him. They had talked about one thing and kind of went another way, and Channing said, hey, man, I'm sorry, got out of control. I don't know what happened. So, you know, things
I don't happen. Know, man. It's just weird. You can't run around, you know, nationally doing a book tour and posting pictures and all that and just act like it doesn't exist. It's like Aaron Rodgers. They go to the same media school, those two.
Well, and then, I mean, he did some real petty stuff in his book. Like, an owner was pretty damn good to you, Robert Kraft. You never mention him in the book? Like, how do you not mention the guy you work for?
Well, that interview was incredible, right? When they go, well, what about when he fired you? He didn't fire me. It was mutual.
Yeah.
He seemed very upset about that.
Yeah, that's...
By the way, that's a big stain on his legacy, right? The way that thing ended?
I just think the whole thing in New England, after that great 20-year run they had, the way it kind of ended with Brady leaving and going to Tampa Bay, motivated to win another championship, went into the perfect situation, took the team over, the offense over about halfway through that season, and they win it all. And then how that ended, because Brady and Kraft were close, I think Belichick wanted to move on from Brady, it seemed like. And Brady goes another 3 or 4 years in Tampa Bay and plays his ass off. They win more playoff games there than they've ever won in their life.
Well, remember there was that whole debate, is it Brady or Belichick?
Yeah.
And we found out that Belichick's trash without Brady. So that you know, that settled that debate pretty quickly.
You're too much.
He goes to Tampa and starts winning. And the thing falls apart without him.
I think as good as Belichick was, and I think he won 300 games. You can't say he's a trash coach. Stupid.
I think he's a bum, and I hope you ambush him when he comes on. I hope you absolutely ambush him if he comes on.
You can say whatever you want, but he won 300 games in NFL.
Ask him if he thinks winning in college, ask him if he thinks those wins count towards the record.
Why do you keep saying, you said that yesterday.
I know.
Why would he think?
Because I think it's a funny question to ask him.
It's dumb. No, I'm not. You ask that. Why don't you say that to him? Hey, before you come over here, why don't you do that, tough guy? Hey, you college. Why would you ask me? College and pro.
Because you don't even have to look at
him. Nobody's ever put them together. No. I just know your personality. You're going to run and hide from them. No, you just.
540 says once she inherits Bill's money, if she's still into older men, I'm available.
And I think she'll go back to younger guys after she gets that money. Then she'll go, hey, you know, maybe I'll go back. I don't know. Somebody else said, though, didn't she date another older guy?
She
before?
Did, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe.
But he was in his 60s. She just took it to a new level. So, what the hell, 60s? Let's just jump into the 70s here.
She found it older and richer guys, so she moved on.
It does look like that. It does.
Yes, it does, Joe, yes.
Is there a chance she... literally just fell in love with him. They had a lot in common.
Yeah, sure.
She's super mature for her age. And like now all of a sudden Bill's well-rounded, not just a full-time football coach.
There's just, I mean, the gap in like what these people could talk about. Like you have kids that age, obviously, Joe. I'm guessing you don't have a ton in common with them.
No. No. None. Matter of fact, I jump in their conversation.
Right, yeah.
They slam me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have no idea what we're talking about. So we're not even going to talk about it with you. Yeah. That's what I get. That's what I just had here recently. Hey, I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic ED and Low T, man. If you are going through it, that's where I am. Hey, I can't speak for Big Bill. I'm guessing he's okay. But if he's going to Atlantic Men's Clinic, I know he's okay. Because I'm just going to tell you right now, whether it's low T or ED from lack of energy, tired all the time, sex drive is gone. Doesn't have to be that way. Not when you're with Atlantic Men's Clinic, man. They're making big changes in helping men out. It's a fact. Sooner or later, everybody gets low T and ED. Happens to guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And when it does happen, that doesn't mean it has to be the end. No, it doesn't have to mean the sex is completely gone for you. Sex drive is gone. You, matter of fact, how would you like to turn back the clock and have the energy like you used to, where you're working out, you're losing weight, you feel great, you're getting lots of compliments, and your sex drive on the weekends is back like it used to be like 15, 20 years ago? If it's still important to you, then Atlantic Men's Clinic's a perfect place to go. It really is. Summer vacation coming up. I want you to feel good for it. And Atlantic Men's Clinic can do it for you. 7 locations, including one, the newest one in Hollywood, ready for you. The T, the PSA test. Set up that first appointment. Meet with their professionals. And they put a program that's perfect for you. Custom made for you to get great results and feel so much better. Call 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Set up that first appointment. Atlantic Men's Clinic works. Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. By the way, yesterday, I know we talked a lot about this Teddy Bridgewater thing, who picked up a lot of national support. It was whatever the rules are and whatever's going to happen, and whether Teddy's suspended all football season or not. Everything he did was the right thing to do. It's his money, and it were all things needed in today's high school football world. As I said yesterday, tried to break it down, aware of the school, and I see people writing a lot of things about it, and it's in a tough neighborhood. A lot of struggling families, and so everything Teddy did, feeding kids, pregame meals, which everybody does, all schools do, have the big pregame meal. Usually the boosters or mothers or teachers will donate their time and, you know, pasta and all the things they'll do and get restaurants to donate food and that stuff. And then the back and forth of making sure your players get to school and get home. And so Teddy was doing that. So all those things he did, he's doing for those players. I hear it all the time. Guys, hey, you're late, or yeah, I'm having some trouble at home. I'm having trouble getting to school. And, okay, well, we got to do something. I'm starving. No money, no food. And I'm going to feed you. I don't know any coaches in any high schools, anywhere, not just South Florida, that if they know one of their players are going through hard times, aren't going to help them if they're playing on their team. Of course they are. Well, they can tell them, you know what, maybe you ought to go somewhere else, you know. You can't get here, and you're always hungry and borrowing and need money, and you need food. And so Teddy did the right thing, man, and I was glad to see nationally everybody kind of weighing in on it, although a lot of them aren't aware of the whole background of the whole thing. But a lot of them are, and Teddy did absolutely the right thing, and he's not an employee for the school, even though, you know, we call him the head coach. But he's like, what are you going to suspend me for? Like, he still go to the games and still I can give money from the outside, but as a guy that's helping coach the team, this is a problem. It's such a joke. Florida has found a way to screw up this transfer portal. They make college football look good, what the state of Florida has done in the transfer portal. Seriously. If you could hear some of the stories of kids bouncing around from school to school, and some of it because they have wacky parents, but going school to school and, well, we're going to change because he can make more going there, and we're going to go there, and they'll make sure he gets to school and bouncing around. So we did this. We did this, not a Teddy thing or Teddy's. No, this is the system. And so these coaches have adjusted. But we got guys traveling all over South Florida to go to high school. We got kids right now traveling, skipping counties to get to their new school. So the old play in your backyard, there are still guys that do it, but a lot of guys, a lot of good players traveling to get to their new schools, traveling like I travel every day to get to work, pretty good distance. So anyway, glad to see Teddy getting a lot of support, and shouldn't be ashamed of anything he did. He tried to hide it, put it on Facebook, put the whole thing on Facebook. It wasn't like somebody was like, "Ha ha, we caught him." Put it on Facebook. So the fan base and boosters in Northwestern could, he said, "Hey man, could use your help. I'm putting in my own money. I know I have it, but I'd like your help if you're enjoying the product." Because we got another damn good team this year. One of the best public school teams in the country. And so that's how it all plays out. I hope we don't lose Teddy in high school football. I think Teddy's good for high school football, especially going back and coaching your high school where you went to school. That's a pretty cool story. And he's always been involved in his high school. So nice story. And I hope it doesn't have a ugly ending to it. Although I will tell you, a lot of you are cowards in Dade County for not supporting him. You're gutless. I've lost a lot of respect for a lot of you who don't support and see what's going on and aren't fighting the Athletic Association of the state for not being and realizing, because we should just go around and rat each other out now. That's what we should do. Just go rat everybody and find out, oh, this stuff's going on a lot of places, huh? Except this one has one guy that's made a lot of money as a quarterback in the NFL, and he openly just put it out there where none of you did. All right, we've got more stuff to get to. 7 o'clock hour is coming up, and we'll jump in here on a lot of stuff. I do want to talk to you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. Hey, I hope you haven't taken that vacation yet, and you're going, you know, still haven't decided how we're traveling, but we're staying away from airports. We're going to get a real comfortable SUV so our family can be together. And I go, well, I'm glad to hear that, because if you really care about something that looks great, that's got plenty of space, wait until you see your South Florida Chevy dealers SUV family we have for you right now. The all-new Equinox. Oh, my gosh, I'm driving one right now. I don't even have the whole family with me. Man, it is a fun drive. It has been a fun drive for the last week and a half out here, and I got to tell you, I know you're going to love it. If you haven't seen it, whether it's the electric or regular, boy, the Equinox has got a lot of room, plenty of room for you. Got a great look to it. Like the 2025 Traverse, I've been telling everybody, one of my favorites. It's just under the Tahoe. It's got a lot of room, though. It's got a lot of room for you to really enjoy. Plenty of room for you and your family. And all the cargo, we got you covered right over to Silverado Trucks to clean. Since last night was about power, the Silverado Trucks got plenty of power too. Got four strong options, each one delivering commanding power with roll-formed high-strength steel, impressive cargo volume, and 12 standard tie-downs. I can go on and on. We make a Silverado truck absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. We got great deals going on in convenient locations all over South Florida. Hey, before you make any move in work, or your travel plans for this summer, stop by your South Florida Chevy dealers. Check out the trucks and SUVs. You will love what you see. Take a test drive. Great deal waiting for you today. It's your South Florida Chevy dealer.